The lectionary readings for Sunday Mass are arranged in a three-year cycle called simply A, B, and C. And on the Sundays outside of the seasons of Advent and Christmas, Lent and Easter, the Gospel readings for year A come primarily from Matthew, while those for year B come mainly from Mark, and those for year C come mostly from Luke. We are now in the final 10 weeks of year B, and so we will continue to read from the Gospel according to St. Mark until the Sunday before the solemnity of Christ the King and the end of this liturgical year. Mark's Gospel is divided into 16 chapters, and our reading today is taken from the final section of chapter 8, meaning that we are right in the middle of Mark's Gospel, as measured by both the length of the text and the dramatic structure of the story. The event described today is the turning point in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, and the setting for this moment of truth is not Judea or Galilee, but Gentile territory at the furthest point north Christ ever traveled that we know of. The city of Caesarea Philippi was about 20 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, at the foot of Mount Hermon, which rises to over 9,200 feet above sea level and straddles the modern border between Lebanon and Syria. Caesarea Philippi was named for two men who claimed authority to rule, the Tetrarch Philip, a son of the murderous Herod the Great, and the Emperor Augustus Caesar, who called himself the Son of God. At Mount Hermon, the Canaanite fertility god Baal had been worshipped for several centuries, but from the time of Alexander the Great, it was the site of a shrine to the Greek fertility god Pan, who was depicted as a man with the legs, horns, and ears of a goat. The grotto at Pan's shrine was the site of false worship, much of it based on drunken debauchery and frenzied irrationality, from which we get our word, panic. Into this heart of pagan darkness in Gentile territory, the Lord Jesus took his 12 Jewish apostles to lay the foundation of a movement that would embrace first Israel, then the civilizations of Greece and Rome, and finally the whole world in a new, eternal, and universal kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And that universal assembly of humanity is the church, belonging to which comes from knowing and living according to the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Mark's Gospel, the public ministry of the Lord Jesus began in Galilee with Christ proclaiming these words, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The time is fulfilled. What time? All of time, including the nearly 14 billion years or so between the creation of the universe from nothing and the coming of the Creator as the Son of Man, and the 4.5 billion years between the formation of this planet and the taking of flesh by the eternal and omnipotent Word of God, and the 2,000 years between the call of Abraham and the mission of the Messiah, and the 1,000 years between the anointing of David as King of Israel and the coming of the Son of David as the Anointed One who would inaugurate the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. To repent is to change the whole direction of my life, and to believe in the gospel is to allow the Lord to teach me through his holy word how and why my life should be changed. And having begun his public ministry with this call to conversion, the Lord Jesus in due course led 12 of his students and closest companions to a place they had likely never been before, the neighborhood in which two false gods had been worshipped for centuries, and there he gave them a quiz to help prepare his students to become teachers of his gospel. Who do people say that I am? Recall that by chapter 8 of Mark, the Lord Jesus had already worked many signs to reveal his dominion over nature, including numerous healings, the feedings of thousands with a handful of food, and the calming of a violent storm with a word. He had traveled and preached, and he had confronted the scribes and Pharisees with their dishonesty and false pretenses, all in the company of his apostles. And now it was time for the 12 to give an account of their understanding of him. But he began with an indirect question to give them time to open their hearts and minds to the promptings of divine grace. Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. But these were the answers of other people, and no one can live by the faith of someone else, even someone they love. And so Jesus then asked the 12 directly, personally, but who do you say that I am? Surely they had been pondering this very question since the day they met Jesus. Who is this man with dominion over nature and the wisdom of God in his words? They knew his mother, and they assumed they knew the full story of his origins. But during their time with Jesus, the 12 had witnessed him doing and saying things beyond the capacity of anyone but the living God. And so now they had reached the turning point in their lives with this pointed question from their rabbi. Who do you say that I am? Simon Bar-Jonah, called Peter by the Lord because he would become the foundation stone of the church, answered this question of Jesus with a confession of faith made possible only by the supernatural grace of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One. You are the Christ. Mark then tells us that Jesus strictly charged them to tell no one about him. But why? If God had become man, then why keep it a secret? Well, because before the proclamation of the gospel could begin, the hour of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection had to come first. And that, in turn, required that the 12 first learn about the cross and understand that the Messiah would be a suffering servant rather than a conquering hero, just as described by the prophet Isaiah in the first lesson today. And so Mark tells us that Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Mark assures us that Jesus said this plainly, but this was too much for the 12. They were not yet prepared to accept the requirements of the Messiah's mission, and so Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. The word which is here rendered as rebuke can also be translated as censure, warn, and reprove. In other words, Peter flatly contradicted the teaching of Jesus that he must be rejected, tortured, and killed in order to fulfill his mission, because Peter thought that there must be another way, a better way, for the Messiah to accomplish his purpose of restoring the kingdom to Israel. Peter contradicted the Lord Jesus because he did not yet understand the universal scope of Christ's mission to reconcile the entire human race to God through the forgiveness of sins by his atoning death on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead. And so Jesus, in turn, then rebuked Peter for relying on human wisdom rather than surrendering his life in the obedience of faith to the truth of the Word of God. And then Christ continued to teach them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." Friends, this is the turning point of Mark's gospel. And answering this question of the Lord Jesus is the turning point of every human life. Who do you say that I am? But we must each make a decision for ourselves rather than try to live by the answer of others. Have you made a decision? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? As Peter learned, we cannot answer that question without accepting the cost of discipleship. And that cost is the cross, both for the Savior and for all who would follow him. We live all the time among people who still worship the Baals and Pans of our time. But the Word made flesh, the true Lamb of God, never ceases to call us to follow him in the way of the cross, to repent of our sins, and to believe in the gospel, so that by grace through faith, we can answer the life-changing question of Jesus along with Simon Peter. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.